Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a great joy to be back to one of my homes. I was voluntold I was giving this homily, so Father Norm, when Father Norm asks, you obey.
Oh, yeah? Sure.
I think in this country, we often have a habit of asking our friends and those whom we encounter, how's your family doing? Who here has received that question before? I think we ask it all, it's almost like a filler question. And there's sort of two extremes of responses, I think, that people give. The first I call the teenage boy response, good. The second is we start listing what's wrong with our family. This aunt is going crazy. This uncle did this. Something's wrong with my siblings. Something's wrong with my parents. I'm certainly guilty of this. That when they ask how my family is, I all of a sudden revert to what's wrong with my family. Or I'm like, oh, they're good. And I think today's feast day is almost difficult because we're celebrating a holy family. Now, what does Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Immaculate Virgin, and the chaste foster father, Saint Joseph, have to say to my life and my brokenness and my family? And I think it makes today a little bit difficult to preach on. Because our families and our lives are imperfect. They're full of brokenness. Yes, maybe our immediate families, but also the human family is filled with brokenness and imperfections. And what does this perfect family have to say to us? There's this temptation to spiritualize them. I don't think that this holy family really lived up. They were perfect, yes, and holy, but I don't think their lives and their circumstances were perfect. I think they suffered. In fact, if you move throughout the Christmas season, just 3 days after we celebrate the birth of Christ, we celebrate a feast day called the Holy Innocents, which is what? It's when King Herod orders the slaughter of every male child under the age of 2. And Mary, Joseph, and Jesus become migrants and refugees fleeing to Egypt. I imagine that was a time of great suffering for them, of great turmoil. We also don't hear of Saint Joseph after this season, which means that he passed away, that Mary and Jesus had to grieve the loss of someone they loved very dearly. Isn't that an experience we all know, grieving the loss of someone? Or imagine being the parents of the Son of God. I don't think that they fully understood that or knew what they were getting into. They probably had dreams for this child. Maybe they imagined him getting married and having grandchildren and having a family, but I'm the anointed one to bring glad tidings to the poor, and my will is to do the will of my Father, which is to do this. I imagine they had to come to an understanding, and that was probably difficult for them. And today's gospel, I love today's gospel from Luke, and there's a line that's almost haunting. Behold, this child is destined for the rise and fall of many, a sign to be contradicted. And then the line, and you, a sword will pierce, Simeon tells Mary. That is a profound and haunting line that I don't think we should gloss over, because we put the Holy Family up here as the standard for holiness in the family. But that does not mean that they are above or immune from suffering. They know everything that it's like to be human. Everything that we bear as human beings, joy and peace. Lord, let your servant go in peace. They know that. They know what it's like to live a life shrouded in mystery, to ask those deep questions I'm sure we all ask here. What is the meaning of life? What comes next? What do I do with the loss of a loved one? What about my child who doesn't go to church? What about me? I don't feel your presence right now. What will this child become? They know what it's like to ask those questions, to be assigned to be contradicted. And yes, they know what it's like to experience suffering and pain, to be pierced by the sword, which we have all been pierced in some way or another, myself included. And I think if we have this idea of the Holy Family that is intimately human, that is intimately in solidarity with us, standing with us and knowing what it's like to cry out of joy or to cry out of pain, that's the light that shines forth from them. That's the light that draws us in as a human family, that extends to us, that encourages us to offer human warmth to those where harmony is absent, where peace is absent, where forgiveness is lacking. A light that calls us to this concrete solidarity. Just like the Holy Family is in solidarity with us, so we are called to stand with those who experience these difficult situations of grieving the loss of a loved one during Christmas, to those who experience situations of marginalization, those who are fleeing their homeland, those who are struggling to make ends meet, those who are suffering and crying out, "Where are you, Lord?" The Holy Family stands with them, and so too we are called to stand with one another in love. As they stand in solidarity with us, so too we are called to stand with each other, to sit with each other, as a human family. Are we willing to let our hearts be moved by others' experience in life? Their experiences of joy and rejoicing, Father Norm's 50th. Am I willing to rejoice in that and say, "Thank you, God, for the gift that he has been in priesthood"? Or, "Thank you, God, for the gift of your faith," where I rejoice and bring you to the Lord and say, "Thank you"? Or will I sit with one another? Or will we sit when someone is suffering and say, "You are part of this family. I love you. You belong here"? Or when I fall short, not just physically, but when I fall short spiritually, or when I hurt someone, to say, "I'm sorry. I love you"? Am I willing to stand, to sit in solidarity, to go out and to say, "You have a home here, I love you"? Are we willing to walk with one another in love and to say, "You are beloved and God loves you because God is love"? And to never tire of proclaiming that truth. I have two examples because I think this has to be incarnated in my life, just like it's incarnated in your life. And the first is a very personal example over the past year. If you could call it the benefit of going back to seminary, it was extraordinarily difficult to leave. But I had the benefit of being able to reflect on my time here, to reflect on what was my time at St. Vincent like. That you all welcomed me as Jeffrey, as a beloved, and called me to be not some idealized version of myself, not to be Father Norm, but to be Jeffrey. That you welcomed this stranger who came all of a sudden preaching and talking about Jesus and ministering in your midst. You welcomed me as a parish family and said, "We love you." That is a model of the human family, my dear sisters and brothers, that this parish family is modeled after that. And for that, I am infinitely grateful. Thank you for showing me what it means to be beloved. And that even beyond these parish walls, beyond the boundaries of what it means to be Christian, we are called to see people as part of God's family. And if you were at Bible study over the summer, I told this story. You know that I was once pre-med and that I was struggling in chemistry. What I didn't tell you is the story of my professor. Professor Neil Wolfman, who's from Queens, New York, grew up Jewish, a good practicing Jew, and eventually, as life went on, he struggled to believe in God. He wouldn't really call himself a believer. This is the man who, after I failed my first exam and got a 50%, he took me under his wing into his office and said, "It's going to be okay. I will do anything to help you. I want you to be joyful because I love you and I will walk with you." In the midst of hundreds of students in this class, he took me under his wing. And eventually, as I eventually discerned into seminary, I needed someone to write my recommendation to Catholic seminary. I went to Neil Wolfman and I asked him, "Will you write me a recommendation to seminary?" A Jew who did not believe in God, writing a recommendation for someone who will, God willing, be a priest one day. This man loved me and journeyed with me where I was at and showed me the compassionate, tender heart of God. He's gone to his eternal reward 3 years ago in just a week from today. He's part of God's family. And I would not be standing here in front of you, this parish, part of my family, without his gift of journeying with me. That's who we're called to see. That's who we're called to go stand with. As these people have journeyed with me and sat with me in my joy and pain, so too we are called to that concrete solidarity. As Neil sat with me crying in his office after I failed my exam and walked me to seminary, a Jewish man who didn't believe in God, as you have walked me into my own belovedness to recognize that I've been claimed by God, so too we're all called to that in our day-to-day lives. We're called to incarnate solidarity with and for one another, to see the face of Christ in those, Catholic or non-Catholic, Christian or non-Christian, because they still bear God's presence, us to them and them to us. To know that we're not alone in our suffering. I will sit with you in your suffering. You will sit with me in my suffering, because we're incarnating God's presence as believers. And to finally, to recognize that I don't think Jesus is waiting for us to be holy. He wants us to be holy. That he became one of us so that we could become holy. So that Neil Wolfman, a faithful Jewish man, could bear his presence to me. So that you could bear God's presence and walk me along my own vocational path. So as we go forth in this Eucharistic celebration, may we continue to be a parish family. May we continue to be in solidarity with one another in the joys and the griefs, the pain and the separation as a family. And to continue to walk and to sit with one another. I give thanks and praise to God for each and every one of you. I'm with you and you're with me. Let's keep walking together.